Hello and welcome to another episode of Now About That with James and Sarah. I'm James.
I'm Sarah.
And on today's episode, we're going to be doing scary Reddit stories or spooky Reddit stories or something. It depends on what Sarah found, and I found a couple, so we'll see.
You know.
I found four. Three of which are relatively long, and then one is kind of a shorter one.
I found, like, a bunch of cool stuff, but it's all, like, pictures.
Okay.
I had a really hard time finding, like, an article. And I don't know if it's just, like, the way that I was searching or what.
Maybe.
But, like, some of these photos are really creepy, but...
Yeah, I saw some that I was like, that would be fun, but it's hard to...
It's hard to talk about photos on a podcast. Where
an audio-only podcast.
You know. Anyway, but it's okay. While you're reading one, I'm going to try again and find...
I just sent you all of them.
No, I know.
Oh, okay.
But, if we wanted to do... more. I can find more when we're alternating.
Okay. So I'll read the first one if that's fine.
Okay.
I'm gonna make this bigger so it'll probably hide your face for it. But so I'll be looking, but I won't be looking at you. But they don't care. You people listening don't care anyways, because you can't see us looking anyway.
Correct.
All right, so this first one is called My Sister Kept a Diary. The last page is my handwriting. And it says, I don't know how to explain this without sounding guilty or insane or both, but I need to get it out. I need someone to tell me this is just grief messing with my head. My sister, Alina, I'm assuming, died 4 months ago. Official cause, suicide. She jumped from the old railway bridge near our hometown. No note, no hesitation, apparently. A hiker saw her standing on the edge and then gone. She was 22. She was quiet, private, brilliant in the kind of way that makes teachers obsessed and friends feeling slightly uneasy. But she was never sad, at least not outwardly. And I should know, we shared a house, shared late night talks, shared everything except secrets, or so I thought. 3 days ago, I went through her things to finally clean out her room. That's when I found the journal. It's leather-bound, plain, hidden inside an old backpack under her bed, wrapped in a black hoodie, like she didn't want it found. At first, it's pretty normal. Pages of thoughts, sketches, weird little poems. Then it shifts. Gets darker. She writes about the silence in the mirror, and the man with no teeth who smiles when I sleep. I figured it was a metaphor, some creative outlet for mental health, right? But then the entries start mentioning me. He was in my room again last night. He always forgets he's talking in his sleep. Sometimes I think he doesn't know what he's doing. Sometimes I think he does. I have no memory of this. I've never sleepwalked. Never had blackouts, never heard voices, but she kept writing, and it escalates. He asked me where I'd hide a body if I had to. He laughed, but he wasn't joking. I found dirt under my nails this morning. I don't remember digging. He keeps saying, we're not twins. We are. I think he's trying to convince me I'm not real. We're not twins. I'm 2 years older. But the final entry... it stopped my heart. It says, he says I jumped, but I haven't yet. Maybe I should, before he makes it worse. It's dated 3 days before her death. That's already strange, but it's the handwriting that gets me. It's mine. I've compared it to my journals, my class notes, old birthday cards. I'd swear under oath I wrote that page, but I didn't. I know I didn't. Unless I did. Unless I don't remember. The police ruled it a suicide. No foul play. No suspicious activity. They barely even looked through her things. They said grief can mess with memory. That her final text to me, I'm sorry, and it's quiet now, sealed it. But the text history has a deleted message, just one, sent at 3:08 a.m. You told me to write it down. I did. Please don't make me jump. I never saw that message. I don't know how it got deleted. I don't know why I'm dreaming about the bridge now, every night. I don't know why the dirt under my fingernails won't come off. I want to believe I'm innocent, but what if she didn't jump? What if I helped her? And what if that voice I hear whispering while I sleep isn't her? It sounds like me.
What the fuck?
That one's creepy.
That one was creepy. Like, ooh.
That's kind of interesting. So I was a little confused at the beginning. And I don't know why, but for some reason, most of the time I read these, I always picture it as a female writing, but it's obviously a boy or a male.
I always assume that it's a woman writing as well.
Yeah, that's so weird. It's so weird that we do that. But it's kind of scary. Like, is it like a demon pretending to be the sibling, or like, is it just mental health? And it's like, that's the voice inside their head playing tricks on them. Crazy, crazy. And then the next one is called I Found a Body in a Backpack.
Yes, which I have pulled up. Whew. All right. I found a body in a backpack. This is from 4 days ago. When I was 16, I worked at a small gas station on a lonely street. I did it for a quick buck, only working 20 hours a week. It was easy and we were never busy, so most of the time I would sit at the counter and do schoolwork. The gas station was small, inside and out. Four pumps sat in front, just right off the side of the road, and the building itself was smaller. There was a one-room bathroom, one middle row of snacks, two fridges, and then my little counter area. We had a back room, but it was used as storage instead of a break room. Behind the building was a large dumpster, but to access it, you had to walk out of the front door and around the building. Most people I saw were passing through, only stopping for gas, a pee break, or a quick bite. The small town I lived in, Tatersaw.
I saw that, yeah.
Sorry. I wasn't expecting that to be the name. Wasn't a tourist town. The hot dogs that turned slowly on the burner were old, but I couldn't tell people that. My boss was a cheapskate and a money-hungry bastard, but he paid me, so I never complained. I let people buy chips that sat on the shelf for months, old hot dogs, and drinks that might as well have been a school science experiment. I always felt bad, and I was always a little nervous that I could get in trouble for selling the things, but my boss reassured me that everything would be fine and nobody will ever know. One evening, it was slower than normal. I'd only seen two cars, and that was nearly an hour ago. Naturally, when a black Honda Civic pulled up, it caught my attention. Stepping out was a couple, maybe in their late 20s. The man opened the back door and grabbed a backpack while the woman walked around and began to pump gas. I went back to my schoolwork, not thinking very much of it. If they needed help, they could always just come inside. The husband disappeared from view, but it was whatever. I went back to my pre-calculus homework, trying to figure out trigonometry. Whew, good luck, friend. I fucking hated trigonometry. Valid. A few minutes later, the couple got back into the car and pulled away. I caught a glimpse of the man who no longer had the backpack. Being more focused on my homework, I just assumed he had already thrown it in the back of the car again, and I just missed it. Later that evening, I was about to take out the trash. Hillary, an older woman with a severe cigarette issue, was supposed to take over for me. I offered to take out the trash, to which she agreed, and I walked around to the back of the building. A bad smell hit me in the face as I rounded the corner, but it was a large dumpster with God knows what, so it was bound to smell. Walking over, I threw the lid to the dumpster open and lugged the bag over my shoulder and into the green bin. When I shut the thing, something caught my eye. A backpack. The same backpack the man had earlier. It looked wet, as if you had just spilled a water bottle into the bottom of a bag. It hunched over in an odd position. You could tell there was something in it. Being a 16-year-old guy, curiosity got the best of me, and I mistakenly opened the thing. Inside was what I could assume was a body. It was a deep red and pink in places, or I think it was. The black inner lining of the backpack made it hard to tell for certain. It stank, much worse than the dumpster nearby, and I could see chunks of meat and little white things sticking every which way. It looked like roadkill that had been hit by several cars. I turned around, vomiting the little bit I had in my stomach, tears sprang to my eyes as it turned into acid coming up. Or I think it was acid. I know for certain I lost all my lunch. I stumbled back around the building, crashing into the wall and trying to wipe the vomit that was dribbling down my chin. I stumbled through the doors, catching Hillary's attention immediately. I choked out the words, something about a body, and felt the need to vomit again. She grabbed the phone, dialing 911 and speaking frantically. I shoved past her into the one bathroom we had and stayed hunched over the toilet until the cops arrived. The rest of my evening and night was a blur. When the cops arrived, I was sitting on the nasty bathroom floor. I don't care how gross it was, I couldn't bring myself to think of anything except what I had seen. I wanted so desperately to forget the horrid sight. A female officer came and found me, a shocked look appearing on her face as she saw my condition. "Hey there, you're Zach, right?" She sounded so soft, like a mother comforting their child after a nightmare. I could only nod in response. She sat beside me, putting an arm around my shoulder and pulled me into a comforting hold. It felt like we sat there for hours, just the sounds of other officers and occasionally Hillary's voice piercing the silence. I don't remember exactly what happened. I was in and out of it through the rest of the night. My parents showed up. My mother frantically wrapped her arms around me. I gave my story to the officers. I couldn't talk to them without a guardian present. That's at least what my father explained to me later. Days turned into weeks, and weeks turned into months. I can't forget it, the smell and the sight. I told a few friends a few weeks after it happened, but I kept the gory details out of the telling. I couldn't bring myself to tell them what I saw. From what I have heard, the cops still don't know what happened. The body was unrecognizable. I'm honestly not even sure how they determined it was human, but I'm no forensic scientist. I never got any answers, nothing about DNA or whatever they do, nothing about the black Honda Civic. There was nothing, at least not that anyone told me. Eventually, the case went cold, and nobody knows what happened to the body in the backpack.
Two things. Again, I thought this was a girl.
Same.
A female. Until Zach came. And secondly, if the bathroom is gross, that's your fault.
Right.
You described how slow and how not busy this gas station is. You're the employee. It is your fault if it's disgusting.
Yeah. I mean, that's a 16-year-old boy, though. So yeah. I'm not really expecting anything.
And he probably didn't get paid that much anyway. So it's kind of understandable that you wouldn't want to do anything if you're not getting paid much and you're just sitting around and it's not busy.
Yeah.
That was kind of crazy. It sounds like something that would happen in Indiana where we lived.
It does sound like something that would happen back in Indiana. Yeah.
There's actually a gas station. Well, it was bigger because it had a pizza place on next to it that was in Freedom. That kind of reminds me, as you were talking about it, kind of reminds me of that. My mom used to work there, and we would go and hang out while she was at work, and I would sit in the food area. They made some really good pizza.
Yeah, I was thinking about Casey's Pizza the other day.
I don't know that I've ever actually had their pizza. I had their breakfast pizza. I've never had their actual pizza.
Oh, so we used to, when I was a teenager, my mom would occasionally buy pizza from Casey's for dinner. We'd eat on that for a couple of days, so it's pretty good. No,
see, when we had to go in really, really early at Boston Scientific and Spencer, they would sometimes order us breakfast pizza, and it was bacon, sausage, and then it had gravy, white gravy as the base.
Oh yeah. I've had a breakfast pizza before. It's not terrible. It's a little weird, but not terrible.
I enjoyed it. All right. So the next one that I'll read is called I'm 17. Me and my friends found a tunnel behind the old church. Something followed us out. This was back in October. I didn't tell my parents. I didn't tell the cops, but I need to write it down somewhere because ever since that night, things haven't felt right. So yeah, I'm 17, live in a small town outside Louisville, Kentucky.
Louisville.
I don't care. That's how I say it.
It's wrong.
No, it's not. There's this church on the edge of town that burned down like 40 years ago. Everyone calls it St. Harlan's, but the sign out front is too scorched to read anyway, or anymore. It's barely more than bricks and weeds now, and it's where all the local kids go to smoke, screw around, and scare each other. So me, Jamie, Derek, and Allie went up there one night around 10 p.m. We brought flashlights and snacks and a Bluetooth speaker. It wasn't supposed to be a big deal, just hanging out, harmless fun. But then Derek found the trap door. It was half covered by an old pew and sealed with rusted chains. Allie swore it was new, like it hadn't been there the last time we came up, but we thought she was just messing with us. Derek's dumbass brought bolt cutters. He was already planning on something. Why did he have bolt cutters already? Once the chain was off, the door cracked open and there it was, a stone staircase going straight underground. No way we weren't going down. The tunnel was cold, like we walked straight into a freezer. Dirt walls, old brick, damp as hell. It didn't feel like a basement, it felt like a bunker. We kept going for maybe 10 minutes, flashlights bobbing, joking to hide the fact that we were all kind of scared. Then the tunnel opened into this room. Empty, circular, old. Something about it felt wrong, like the room was waiting. There were scorch marks on the walls, hundreds of them. Little jagged lines, like someone had gone at it with broken fingernails. Yuck. And then we saw the circle. On the ground, carved into stone, with symbols around it, not like pentagrams or the Hollywood stuff, older, weirder, like someone made their own language. Allie said we shouldn't be there. Her flashlight was shaking. Jamie wanted to take a picture. She opened Snapchat, and I swear on my life, her camera picked up something none of us saw. A figure standing in the circle, tall, thin, black, with no face. Not even a blur, just a void. When she turned to look, nothing, but the picture was still there. And then it glitched off her screen, just vanished. That's when the air changed. You ever feel a sound like when bass hits too hard? That's what I felt. That's what it felt like. But there was no sound, just pressure, like something was wrapping around us. Then we heard it, scraping, coming up from the tunnel behind us, like something was dragging its nails on the walls. We ran, no shame, full sprint back through the tunnel, except it wasn't the same. It was longer, and the walls weren't bricks anymore. They were dirt, like we were inside a coffin. The light started dying, Jamie's first, then mine. Allie screamed, Derek dropped his phone. We didn't stop. Eventually, somehow, we got out. Poured out of the hole like rats, slammed the door shut, and ran for the car. Didn't talk the whole ride home. That was 4 months ago. Jamie moved to her cousin's place in Tennessee. Allie's in therapy. She won't even say what she saw when her light went out. Derek won't answer any of our texts. Deleted all of his socials. His mom says he's sick. Me, I haven't slept right in weeks because every time I close my eyes, I hear that scraping. And last night I found muddy handprints on the inside of my bedroom windows. On the second floor.
I wasn't expecting it to just end like that.
Right? That's a weird ending. That's a weird way to end.
You couldn't have... Okay. All right. Anyway. Damn. Okay. The next one is called The User Who Never Existed. About a year ago, my friend Nikos got obsessed with Reddit. He created a profile, Thanatos Returned, and spent hours on dark subreddits, urban legends, unexplained events, paranormal stories. One day, he sent me a link to a thread titled, "Do not type your name here no matter what." Like an idiot, I clicked it. The thread was simple, thousands of comments, and at the top of each comment, the username was deleted. Every comment contained only one word, the person's name. Of course, Nikos typed his. The next day, he didn't show up to class. No replies to texts. I went to his house. His mother looked at me confused and said, "I don't have a son." She didn't remember him at all. It was like he'd been erased from existence. I checked Reddit again. His profile was gone. All his posts, comments, messages, gone. I typed his name into the thread. Just that, Nikos. The post vanished right in front of me. A notification appeared in my inbox. Do not try again. You still exist. Months passed. Sometimes I see his old username pop up as online for a second, then vanish, like he's trying to come back, like he's not entirely gone. Sometimes while I sleep, I hear Reddit notifications. My phone is off, no internet. Always the same message. You/Thanatos returned is searching for you. I've never gone back to that thread. Every time I try to type it in, my keyboard freezes. The lights flicker, or worse, I hear someone whispering my name behind me. If you don't believe me, go ahead, search for the thread, but be careful. Do not type your name.
This was a day ago.
Yeah. Some of the comments are interesting. My favorite one, though, was, "I want to delete some bed bugs from existence. Would you share the thread, please?"
Jeez.
All right. So what I sense is r/scary stories, but it's just a question. It says, "Tell me your true scary stories." And I figured we could read a few of the comments of stories that kind of catch our eye, because there's a lot of them in here.
Sure.
So I can start us off if you want. The first one that caught my attention was actually the very first comment. It's by loser_strawberry. I've had many experiences, but I'll tell you one that freaked me out because I wasn't the only witness. I was about 12 years old and I was talking with my dad in his room. My mom was in the closet with the lights off, but we could clearly see her folding clothes. Well, during me and my dad's conversation, he had asked my mom something, but to no reply. He eventually got to the point where he started to yell. I got up and stepped into the closet, but then I heard my mom walk into the room and ask why he was yelling her name. I looked at her and she had a towel wrapped around her. I quickly looked back into the closet and saw nothing. Absolutely nothing. This obviously creeped me and my dad out. Whatever we saw, it wasn't my mom. Whatever it was, it had her shape and even the bun. My mom always had her hair in a bun. I would have completely thought this was my imagination if it weren't for my dad also being there and seeing it too.
This one's about sleep paralysis. My last experience with sleep paralysis. Woke up from an evening nap completely frozen, unable to move, normal sleep paralysis stuff. But this time, there was a snarling, angry wildcat on my chest. Massive fanged mouth dripping with slimy drool staring at me, the eyes. About ready to pounce and rip my face to shreds. Its huge paws were giant razor-sharp claws dug into my chest, piercing right through the bone. My heart was pounding so hard it hurt, and I think my breathing was even stopped. Then I came out of it, and it turns out the family cat was standing on my chest, a sweet, gentle, long-haired, ragdoll-type cat. My breath came rushing back, and I just had to lie there breathing heavily and waiting for my pulse to stabilize before I could go on with my day. That's hilarious.
Oh my god. That, yeah. Ooh. All right. This one is by Quirky014. It says, "I've got one. When I was 11 years old, I could never sleep. I was scared. Every night, strange creatures would crawl from the dark, continuing to stare at me with their beady white eyes and grin with a toothy smile. I begged them to stop, but no matter how hard I tried, they wouldn't stop. It even got to the point when I wanted to leave my home and never come back. But one day, they left. And even in my new home, I still don't see them. But every once in a while, I get a glimpse of those weird figures."
I read that one earlier while you were reading the first one you read.
Nice.
I'll go with the next one. It says, "Okay, Pumpkin, 1361. When I was 10, me and my grandpa were driving to a ranch in Mexico. It was 3:40 in the morning, and we were driving on supposedly haunted road. My grandpa had a blue Ford pickup truck. Anyways, my grandpa... and I were, that is there are no periods in this. I regret choosing this one.
A lot of them are like that, unfortunately.
Had a blue Ford pickup truck. Anyways, my grandpa and I were just making conversation. And he then said, "This road is haunted. A lady stands on the side of the road asking for rides." So I got scared and started looking out the window. 40 minutes pass. The sun is still down. And my grandpa keeps looking at his rearview mirror. I asked him what's wrong, and he replied, "Nothing." I then looked at the mirror and my heart stopped, and I'm just paralyzed in fear. I see a woman in a white dress with a pitch black eyes in the back of our truck. My grandpa looks at the mirror once again, and I'm guessing he sees it as well. And he then just slams on the brakes. We both just look at each other. We look at the mirrors, and she was gone. And my grandpa addressed what happened, and we confirmed that we both saw her. We got out of the truck, and we were moments away from falling into a deep ditch off the road if my grandpa hadn't slammed on the brakes. We could have been dead ever since. We never took that road. That road scariest moment in my life.
Damn.
That was difficult to read. There was no punctuation aside from quotation marks and a couple of apostrophes in like I'm and conjunction words.
Yeah.
Compound words, not conjunction words.
The next one that I'm looking at is by Fragrant-Choice151. My big brother used to have an imaginary brother, and he would always play with him, but sometimes he would say, "Stop, leave me alone," or, "No, I don't want to go to my room to play." My mom would ask him, "What's going on?" And he would say, "He won't leave me alone." Of course, my mom had no idea what he was talking about and thought it was just him being a kid with an imaginary friend. Well, a day after my brother's birthday, he had these balloons. And keep in mind, my brother is just a little kid and he's obviously not tall. So he couldn't reach the plates, knives, forks, etc. It was around 10, 11 p.m. and my mom heard the balloons pop. So she went outside and my brother looked really scared. So my mom asked him, "What's happened? Did you pop the balloons?" And my brother said, freaking out, "No, it was him," pointing to his imaginary friend that my mom obviously couldn't see. My mom saw the knife next to the balloons and immediately knew that he was too short to reach any of those things. So she said, "Get out of my house," to my brother's imaginary friend. Since my mom couldn't see him, she asked my brother if he left already, and he said he left and thanked my mom. Later, about 10-15 minutes later, my cousins came over. My cousin said that he saw a woman in all white with her hair in front of her face at the front door. My brother said that that was his mom, and she opened the door. My cousins were already inside and asked my brother if she was still there. And my brother said yes, and that she was mad. She started to yell for her to get out, and then she asked my brother if she was still here, and he said no. My brother is now 19 and says he still sometimes sees him in his mirror.
Hmm. Not only did he have an imaginary friend, but he had an imaginary friend with a family.
Right? Jesus.
So this one is from Hanging With My Peeps. It says, "This happened when I was 12. I am a female. Thank you for clarifying. At a country club on the 14th of April. This still creeps me out just thinking about it. My mom, sister's friend, and I just arrived at the country club because I wanted to practice some drills and squash. We walk into the bar area to pay for the court, and there is a lady with her son, at least I think it was her son, sitting on one of the bar stools. The woman looked about 25 to 30 years old, and the son looked about 4 to 6 years old. She looked at our dog and was almost squeezing its neck. She looked at her dog and was almost squeezing its neck. After that, she looked at my mom and said hello, and then looked at me dead in the eye. She walked towards and held out her hand. I took her hand to shake it, but she didn't move it. She just kept her hand still and wouldn't let go. She started talking to me and asking me questions, but I have no clue what she said. She said it so quiet and almost like she muttered the words. The only thing I could quite make out was the word medical. Then it was almost like time stopped and all the sound disappeared around me. The only thing I could hear was her quiet muttering. I told my mom I was going to the squash courts, but as I walked a few steps out of the doorway, I felt these eyes watching me. My back was facing the doorway. I turned around and saw her watching me from inside the bar. After that, I didn't feel safe enough to go to the squash courts alone, so I walked back to my mom and waited for her to finish paying. Fast forward to when I'm done playing squash and I played with my friend a bit. When I finished playing with my friend, she went to go and put her squash things away on the court next door. When I went to my friend, we were the only ones at the squash court, but my mom was walking inside. She was by the stands closing her squash bag. I saw the lady standing there by the side of the stands watching her. She muttered something, but we both didn't hear what. She left the squash room when my mom got there and disappeared. I walked my friend to her parent, and I quickly walked back to my mom. But it's very weird because I can't get a good picture of her in my head, even though she almost stared into my soul. I just cannot remember what she looks like, and I had a pain in my head. We have never seen her since, and I still wonder what she might have done if I left my friend by herself. Has anyone had a similar experience?
I didn't fully understand what was going on, some of that.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Some of these start off really well, and then, like, halfway through, I don't know. But anyway, the next one that I'm looking at is by Classic Chef 4789. I recently started working for a carpentry business. I'm fresh out of high school, so I'm pretty much brand new to this type of work. One early morning, my boss had called me and told me to make my way over to one of the job sites we were at. Once I got there, he directed me on what to do, and he was on his way. I was the only one at the specific house due to us being understaffed, six of us. Once he left, I took off my shoes and began walking down the steps when I heard what sounded like panting in the basement. I figured the family just had a pet somewhere down here, so I continued walking down the stairs. I got into the room that was unfinished and had all of our equipment and began cleaning buckets of mud when I heard a bark. But not just an ordinary bark. It sounded like a grown man imitating a bark. So I instantly assumed it was my boss who forgot something and was trying to scare me. I dropped my stuff and walked to the door and yelled his name to see if he was here. No reply. I was kind of getting a little creeped out, so I decided to leave the room I was in to make my way upstairs. But before I could, I heard that barking noise again coming from somewhere down in the basement. I went and checked one of the rooms down there. Why? And when I see the source of the noise, I got so scared. The way the eyes looked made me feel so uneasy. It was so uncanny the way the dog looked. It was a very large dog, almost like a grown man was hiding inside of a dog's skin. My eyes started watering up and I had chills everywhere. My blood still runs cold thinking about it.
It's funny. This one's from Do Stress 1427. And it says, I was at a friend's house with two other friends. We were playing Brawl Stars and we were playing 2v2 in friendly battle. I lost, so I screamed from anger. Suddenly, a man knocked on the window. I opened the window and asked, what did he want? He said, can you be quiet? I'm trying to sleep. After I closed the window, my friend started crying. When I asked what was wrong, she said, we're on the third floor. I mean, it could have been like one of those balcony, like things, terrace, like fire escape things.
That's true. I just like how you read the, we're on the third floor.
Because I could just see a little kid's crying like that. We're on the third floor.
Yeah. You wanna do one more or?
Sure.
Okay. This one is by Cranberry X. When I was 9 years old, me and my family moved to another country. We settled in a pretty old apartment that we were renting. It had a lot of old furniture and was pretty worn out, but we didn't have a choice at the time. One day, my siblings and me decided to look through the drawers. There was a bunch of old stuff that people who lived there before had left, like candles and etc. That's when we found an old drawer full of dirty vintage plushies. My mom wouldn't allow us to touch them as we never knew what happened to them. Then suddenly I caught a glimpse of a weird plush doll. To be honest, it looked like a voodoo doll or something. One eye was a pin and the other one was smaller than the other and had a cross, ugly, I don't know what that means, ugly dress and arms of different sizes. As we were creeped out, we started to joke around about it, laughing at the way it looks. We had already put it back with the others by the time mom called us. We pretty much forgot about it and spent our day like normal. I remember randomly waking up around 6 to go to the bathroom. Once I was done, I was just going back to my room when I saw that doll in my parents' room. It was on the table right near the door, so it was seen from the hallway. I got super scared and confused on why it was there, but decided to ask the others once they were awake, putting the doll back. During breakfast, I told the story to my family, thinking it was one of them who took it. All of them denied it. My parents wouldn't take it as they were disgusted by it, so I started to ask my little siblings, but they were swearing it wasn't them. They were around 4 at the time, and I was pretty sure they couldn't do it. My mom stays up late and would see them if they would wake up. Plus, I woke up pretty early, not giving them the chance to. After all, they were small and would never go through the long hallway at night just to place a creepy doll in the parents' room, knowing damn well that they would get mad. We decided to throw it away the same day, just like the other toys. Never seen it after, never wanting to.
This one is by Unknown DJ. And it says, this happened to me when I was 8 or something. We moved into a new house and my little sister and I were allowed to sleep in our rooms on a mattress. I think it's were. I already gained some weird feelings in my room when I was alone. Just a reminder, my little sister's room was next to mine. Just as a reminder. Just a reminder. I did too. Oh, got it. Never mind. For most, as I can remember, we stayed up late and then went to bed at like 2200 hours, 10 o'clock at night. It's not very late. I took
but
a while.
If you're little, that's pretty late.
Oh yeah, I guess eight years old you are. That's pretty late. I took a while to fall asleep. I couldn't see much because of the dark and because I don't sleep with glasses on. It says glasses. I remember hearing my name yelled by my parents over and over again. It took me a while to notice it wasn't real. The moment I began feel sleepy, I saw something staring at me. Meanwhile, younger me would just stare at it. Till I know it's real. Well, let's just say more of them came. I do suffer sometimes from sleep paralysis. I couldn't move. I was just laying there on my back. Those creatures kept staring at me. Mostly, I just tried to close my eyes and forget it all. The next morning, I heard from my parents that I kept saying, "Go away, mother. Why are you calling me? Hello?" Mostly something like that. I don't talk in my sleep or move those things. It was just probably another paralysis or something. I also once saw Freddy Fazbear just watching over. That one was hard to read.
I love the Freddy Fazbear. Yeah. Oh my God. Well, how was your week? We just kind of went straight in, no kissing.
It was okay. It was kind of busy. I had a paper that I had to write on Tuesday, which I got finished pretty quickly. Well, it took me about two, three hours to write a 5-page paper.
Wow.
And then
I mean, just brag about how great you are writing papers at the very last second.
I don't know why I wait until the last minute, because I could have done this last week.
I don't know why either, but I do the same thing. So,
yeah. And then I did get some information about my interviews that are coming up next week. Mm-hmm. They're actually scheduled for next week, which is exciting.
Woot woot.
So I have three interviews for two different jobs.
Okay.
So I applied for the one that rejected me automatically, because I selected something wrong, and I have that one. So the people that I'm meeting with are in different time zones. One of them is from Singapore, and then the other one is in Ireland. So the one that is in Ireland, I have an interview with on Tuesday at 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. And the one that's in Singapore, I have an interview with on Thursday at like 9 p.m.
Okay.
And I was like, that's totally fine. I can meet with them whenever. It's fine. And then on Thursday, I have an interview for another job that's in talent development for the sales training team.
Okay.
So we'll see how that goes. And I started helping with the Latin America team, sales team, reviewing some training, and then like providing some input onto how their training, we can make their training program better for a certain one. I feel bad, and I'm sure. So I'll clarify that. I met with the manager of the team, I think it's manager of the team a couple weeks ago. And then we met last week as well. And he introduced me to the team. And then we had a call. And I was like, the biggest thing I'm concerned about is working with the Latin American team. I don't know any Spanish. So I don't know whether I'm going to be able to help as much as I can. But anyways, we met. And when I first, the first call I had with him, I was at work. So I had my like headphones and stuff. And I didn't have the podcast set up. But then when I met with him the second time, I had my podcast. I was here, so I had my podcast set up, and he asked me if I had a podcast. And I told him about it, and he started following and listening, and he brought it up on the call with the team. And he was like, we're all going to follow you, and we're all going to listen. So he could possibly be listening right now. Hello, if you are. But it was fun, and I'm excited to help them with as much as I can. But again, I'm like, I'm started looking through their content, and it's like, it's all in Spanish. And I'm like, I don't know how much I can help because I can't read any of it. So I feel right. really bad.
I always think that what sucks for me is that like, I can't remember most of the Spanish that I learned, but I can read it. Like I can figure out what I'm reading. I can't speak at all or understand if you say it to me, but I can read it.
Yeah. I mean, I think if I looked at it for long enough, I could probably potentially understand some of it, but it's also like sales training. So right. a lot of this it is going to be like
stuff that we didn't learn in high school Spanish.
Yeah. So I'm going to help as much as I can, but they have a daily meeting, I guess, which I won't be able to attend all of them because I have stuff that's scheduled at the same time. But then every 2 weeks they do like a wrap up, and then they start a new, it's called Sprint. It's part of the Scrum platform, how Scrum works.
Okay.
It's just like an agile working pathology.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I know what a Sprint is.
So we'll see. And I'll kind of like walk through what I've looked at and just get some clarification, because I don't know exactly what I'm going to be able to help with if
I don't know unless you like use
Google Translate or something.
Yeah unless you use something online to, but you could also think of this as the perfect opportunity to brush up on your Spanish, and then you could add bilingual.
Yeah. And that's what he keeps saying. It's like, you could learn how to speak Spanish by the end of this. And I was like, I could potentially, but we will see. And then yesterday was a hot mess. So we had ERG events. So for those listening, ERG is Employee Resource Groups. So it's like specialty groups within the business, part of the diversity, equity, and inclusion thing. And they were, so the global Pride ERG had a quick call on yesterday about being an ally, and they had three speakers from, or it was actually four people, but three of them actually like talked a lot more. from the Greater Boston PFLAG group that came and talked, and they were three transgender members that talked about like their trans experience. Well, two of them are trans, one of them is non-binary.
Oh, hey, fellow non-binary.
So they talked about their transition process and like working for the companies that they worked for, and like what it is to be an ally to a trans person, especially given today's crazy climate.
Right.
So that was really nice and really interesting. And then we went from that to there were two other ERGs that were also having an event that day. So it's Plant Day or Plant. No, what is it? Plant. Not. It's not Plant Day. What is it called?
Plant a Tree Day?
No. Like World Day or something like that.
Anyways.
Every year they do a plant workshop where people can come in and they do like mess with plants and they get entered in to win a plant. So they were having that and it was a really long one. And then we had Grow, which is our talent development program for our line leads. And at the same time we started Grow, there was an issue with one of the TVs in the room that we had been using where someone had messed it up, but they didn't let IT know that they messed it up and they couldn't figure out how to fix it. So they just left it. And like anyone that wanted to use that room now couldn't, because the only TV that actually displays the content that you're presenting doesn't work.
Oh my God.
So we had to find a different room that could house 13 people. And I was like, we found the room. I got them all started. And I was like, okay, I need to leave because I had to go help with the other ERG do videos for the job fair that they're doing. They're putting on this weird job fair where they are going around and we are going around and recording what the other like facility or the other departments do. So they had to like put together a quick little presentation on this is what our department does. But I didn't have anything to do with like or coordinating it or organizing it. And I was just like, I can bring my camera and I have a microphone that we can put on. So, because there are some areas where it's loud, so we can actually hear them. And we go and we start walking around to go meet people. And like three of the five had already messaged and said that they couldn't do it that day because things got crazy. And then as we were walking around, there were a bunch of people that were like, well, I can't do it, we're busy. And I was like, did you not check with these people to make sure that they were okay to meet with this time? And then when we did finally get someone, they were like, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know what I'm supposed to say. When I asked them about this, they were like, oh yeah, we've told them what we want and let them know that they have certain like what to talk about and what to kind of include. And it was like every time we walked up to someone, they had to think for about 5 minutes before they decided what they wanted to say. And it was like, just say hello, my name is, and tell me what your department is. And so we eventually did a couple of people. One person we had to do like four times because he didn't like what he said and he didn't like the way that he said it. And then he got a little scared in the middle and like forgot what he was saying. I was like, it's totally fine. What we can do is just start over, or you can go from where you were and I can just cut that part out. And then like this one person, the last person that we did before we called it a day, she did it like 16 times and she kept like quitting and laughing in the middle. And I was like, we need to focus. And then she was getting sidetracked because we were doing it next to the department. And like there were people talking because it was the call center. So there were people taking calls and she was like, it's kind of loud over here. It's like, so we moved to the other side. And then I just got another meeting invite for Wednesday that she wants to redo hers.
What the fuck?
I don't want to. So on Wednesday, I now have six meetings to do this recording, which I'm totally fine with doing, but I'm like, they didn't actually plan it the way that they were supposed to. I'm kind of frustrated with them.
Valid. I'd be frustrated.
How was your week?
My week. Ugh. Well, I had a lovely little mental breakdown at work on Monday, which was very exciting and resulted in me having to go and see my therapist for an emergency appointment. But you know, just cute NB things, you know. But I also got to work in the garden this week. I planted cantaloupe, broccoli, and cauliflower. Yeah, this week has not actually been that great for me, but I survived it, and that's what matters. This weekend, me and the rest of the Quad Squad are going to Ren Fair on Sunday. I still have not decided if I'm going to wear a costume or not. It's, for those listening, it's Friday. We're recording on Friday. We're going on Sunday, and I haven't decided what I'm wearing yet.
I mean, that typically sounds like you.
Yeah. And I'm going to be honest, though. This is one of my least favorite things about myself, is that I tend to put things off until the very last second. I don't like doing that, and I don't know why I keep doing it other than I just am mentally ill. That's why I keep doing it, is I'm mentally ill. But,
well, I don't know why I do it either, specifically with school, but apparently I do pretty well, because as of yesterday, let me double check. I mean, it is, but
I mean, you've been valedictorian like every...
Not valedictorian, you freak.
Yeah, that's what 4.0 is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, I have a 99.81%.
Yeah.
And I'm on my 8th week of 10 weeks.
And you've had all A's the entire time.
Yeah. My master's and my doctorate have been pretty good with keeping that A, that 4.0. So I'm pretty excited. I'm glad that I'm going to potentially, fingers crossed, wrap up my doctorate still with a 4.0. The thing with the last four classes are... they aren't actually, like, you don't get an A, like, a grade. It's, like, a pass or fail. Or it's a, like, you either pass it or you have to redo it. Or start it over, basically.
Mm.
And the longer you take to, the longer it takes you to pass or finish it, the longer it takes you to graduate. I don't know how many times you aren't, like, you can't finish it. You cannot finish it before they kick you out of the program, but...
Right.
That won't happen to me, but...
Right. That won't happen to you, but...
But I don't know how that will, like, impact my 4.0. Like, I'm assuming it'll still, like, as long as I pass it, it'll still be a 4.0.
I mean, that would be my assumption, yeah.
Yeah. Well, aside from the Ren Fair, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Anything else going on this weekend?
I'm going to hang out with my friend Quinn for a little bit tomorrow. I might try to hang out with my friend Stephanie, too, because we didn't end up hanging out last weekend like we thought we were going to. But the good news is she found a new apartment. So, yay. Snaps for Stephanie.
So I was watching TikTok the other day, and this crazy person came up on my TikTok.
Oh, no. It was me.
And it was funny because it said, what I'm looking at is you put in your birth date and... it gives you like these different symbols, and then it tells you what the different symbols mean. And Sarah's says deep and introspective, like falling leaves, brilliant, expressive, and unstable.
Yes. And in the video, you get to see my reaction in real time because I'm like, ooh, deep and introspective, like falling leaves. And I'm like, oh, brilliant. And then I'm like, unstable.
I mean, mentally, emotionally, physically, all of the above.
In all the ways that one can be unstable, tis I, the unstable one. No, it was I was read to filth in that video, and I'm very upset about it.
I mean, it seems about right, and it matches.
It did match. That's what I'm saying. It's like, damn, went for my jugular there. Like,
well, would you like to call it a podcast?
Yeah, we can call it a podcast.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to this week's episode of Now About That with James and Sarah. If you like this episode, please give us a like, a comment, and don't forget to follow or subscribe. If you would, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen, as this will help get the podcast out to more people and help us grow. Feel free to follow us on social media. Our handle everywhere is at Now About That Pod. So if we don't come up in the search, then we're not on that platform. And if there's something specific you would like us to discuss on the podcast, feel free to email us at nowaboutthatpod@gmail.com. Visit our website, www.nowaboutthatproductions.com, or you can call and leave us a voicemail or send us a text message. Our phone number is 765-557-4170. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you have a great week, since this will be coming out on Monday. And, oh, happy Easter, or as I like to call it, Zombie Jesus Day.
Happy Zombie Jesus Day!
I mean, this will come out after that, but still.
Still, though. Happy Zombie Jesus Day.
And Sarah, enjoy your weekend and your Ren Faire. Hopefully you figure out what you're going to wear.
Fingers crossed.
Just don't go naked.
I won't go naked.
I don't think they'll allow that.
Society...
Although, it kind of fits in the time frame.
I mean, yeah, if I went covered in mud.
I mean, that's something.
You have a good weekend as well.
Bye, everybody.